Well, good evening. Welcome to the April 27th meeting of the Planning Commission. We'll go ahead and get started here initially with introductions. We'll start over on our right, please.
Joe Phillips from Central Kitsap.
Tom Nevins, North Kitsap.
Gina Busker, Central Kitsap.
Robert Baglio, South Kitsap.
Spencer Stegman, North Kitsap.
Jim Swenson, South Kitsap.
Rick Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
So we have the agenda in front of us. The only item that we are going to do is we're actually going to take the name tags because it's very brief and move it up to the first item on the agenda. With that, is there a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
Second. I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Okay. So I guess if you want to quick like just...
Yes, so... A couple meetings ago, a few commissioners mentioned that they wanted name tags, so Jim has authorized that. So if you need a name tag and you don't have one, if you could just let me know what you want it to say on there, and you could just email me that or tell me today, and we're ordering those tomorrow.
Okay. No, just your name.
Your actual name.
Yes. All right, so with that, we'll move into the public hearing. But before we get going, Kathleen is going to give us a quick rundown of kind of what the county has done so far with the critical areas ordinance.
Well, good evening, Planning Commission. Thank you so much for holding this extra public hearing this evening. And also, I'd like to, for the record, thank the City of Polesbo for use of their facilities this evening. For the record, Kathleen Barnhart, Planner, Kitsap County Department of Community Development. We are here this evening to hold the second of three public hearings offered for Title 19 Critical Areas Ordinance update. I'd like to take a few minutes to review why we're here and some background information. The Growth Management Act of Washington requires counties and cities to review and evaluate comprehensive plans and the development regulations that go along with those. And update them if necessary according to a schedule. Kitsap County adopted its comprehensive plan in June of 2016, and the county's review of development regulations includes the Critical Areas Ordinance, or CAO. Kitsap County last updated our CAO in 2005 with limited amendments in 2007. This update is intended to ensure compliance with state and federal mandates, incorporation of any best available science since the 2005 update, consideration and incorporation of recent growth management hearing board decisions, and correction of code conflicts and other internal inconsistencies. Local jurisdictions are granted a one-year grace period beyond the deadline for their comprehensive plans. As such, Kitsap County's CAO update is due by June 30th of 2017. In the summer of 2016, county staff convened an informal working group comprised of technical experts from applicable state agencies, ecology, natural resources, and fish and wildlife, and tribes, as well as representatives from some key stakeholder organizations. This group reviewed the current critical areas ordinance alongside the bibliography and summary of best available science, which was the county's initial review of best available science since the last update. After incorporating feedback from this external working group, internal and legal review, the draft CAO was released for public review and comment through the month of March of 2017. During this time, Kitsap County provided a 24/7 online open house forum, in addition to three traditional in-person open houses, one in each commissioner district. The invitation was also provided to meet and discuss with any interested organization. During that comment period, we received approximately 400 individual comments in the form of letters, emails, and online submissions. Those were provided to the Planning Commission and posted online in three forms on April 18th. All original comments, a summary of those comments, as well as the county's response to those comments. Planning Commission held two work studies earlier in April on the 4th and 18th. And I briefly will summarize those. In chapter 900, the introduction, we talked about things such as the exemption for pre-existing and ongoing agriculture. We had some conversation around the provision for danger tree removals in critical areas. Some definitions have been proposed to change, largely for consistency with applicable state agency guidelines. Some were deleted so that we don't run into conflicting definitions within our code in the future, and some were added for clarity. In the wetlands chapter, since 2014, Kitsap County has been operating under the revised wetland rating system. We are proposing changes to this chapter to match the revised system, including scoring for wetland categories. There are three particular scenarios where standard wetland buffers would increase, but also three that would decrease. All are for category 1 and 2 wetlands, not particularly common in Kitsap County. This draft does include a proposed reduction in allowance for administrative buffer reductions, but also provides more options and flexibility for mitigation options. The Fish and Wildlife chapter, we removed references to shorelines where appropriate, as these are now regulated under our Shoreline Master Program, Title 22. We have some changes to how all legals are managed, and other changes similar to the wetlands chapter. Our Geologically Hazardous Areas chapter, Chapter 400, looks quite different. However, the development standards are largely the same. The maps have been updated using mostly the same criteria, but using technologies that are far advanced of what was available during the drafting of our current map. Frequently flooded areas references our Title 15 Flood Hazard Areas Code, which was recently updated. Chapter 600, Aquifer Recharge Areas, water quantity was added as a consideration. Our special reports added some clarity to some already required elements, and our appendices had some minor edits consistent with code, and some new templates and checklists were added. So before we move forward, I would like to add that we have received many excellent public comments so far and had some really great conversations. We've also been working closely with our prosecuting attorney's office to address multiple court cases mentioned in some of those comments. So in addition to tonight's hearings, there's also going to be a third hearing on May 2nd in Port Orchard at the Kitsap County Administration Building, Commissioner's Chambers, also with the 5 p.m. open house and 6 p.m. start time for the hearing. And following that hearing, Planning Commission will hold deliberations May 16th, 23rd, and on June 6th, the Planning Commission's recommendations and comments will be formalized and sent to the Board of County Commissioners for their consideration. And lastly, I would like to add a reminder that the record for testimony was left open through the May 2nd hearing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, so with that, as Kathleen indicated, the hearing has actually stayed open. So we'll, reopen it. There was a sign-up sheet on the outside. I'm not sure if everyone saw that, but if you do want to speak, if you would, please go ahead and make sure your name gets on the sign-up sheet. And I think they're going to grab that right now. And since there's only a small number of people, we'll go ahead and allow 5 minutes, and you'll see a timer over here on your right. And I think it'll give you a beep halfway through, and then at the completion, it'll give you kind of a constant beep. And when you come up and speak, if you would, state your name and your address for the record. So it looks like the first name we have is John Willett. Willett? No? Okay. Next one looks like Paul Anderson.
Thank you, members of the Planning Commission, and thank you for taking public comments. My name is Paul Anderson. I am the Department of Ecology, Wetland and 401 Unit Supervisor for the Northwest Regional Office, and I'm also the Acting Wetland Specialist covering Kitsap County. And go ahead and got my business card so I can read you my address. I don't mail myself much. It is 3190 160th Avenue Southeast in Bellevue, 98008. I have provided written comments to the commission, and the main reason I came this evening is I just wanted to acknowledge, I think, the outstanding job the county staff have done in working on the critical areas ordinance and crafting an ordinance that's consistent with the science and at the same time has taken into consideration all the varying viewpoints in the process. These are lengthy and sometimes contentious ordinances, and there is a lot of public interest, and we understand it very much affects people's property and sometimes how they live their lives. I've been involved in this update since last June, and I've been very impressed with how county staff have handled the meetings and notified people, and that's the main reason I'm here this evening. There are two relatively minor changes we're recommending. Most of our previous comments had to do with definitions. but we believe, based on best available science and ecology's guidance that was published last summer, there are some additional criteria that could be added to the small wetland exemptions. Just to clarify and make sure the resources are protected, some of that has to do with the presence of listed species or other functions of habitat provided where there may be priority habitats or sensitive species. The other area is in the outright buffer reduction that the county may allow. And ecology does not believe that an outright reduction by itself is consistent with the science and over time will lead to a loss of wetland function. What we would recommend is that when there is a reduction, it only be used through buffer averaging and that the width of the buffer not be reduced by more than 25%. The buffers that are recommended in ecology's guidance, which the county has, I believe, proposed, are based on the mid-ranges of the buffers reported in the literature. And so therefore, we have said that this is a moderate risk approach. Those buffer widths have been through legal review, and they've been determined to be best available science consistent with the Growth Management Act. So we believe that any reduction beyond 25% moves you from a moderate risk into a high-risk approach for resource protection. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a go ahead.
We did hear testimony in our hearing on Tuesday night concerns by various members of the community about the reduction from, or the change from a 50% reduction to a 25%. And so the basis of concern ecology has with keeping it at 50%, you said was the best available science. Do you have like a reference we could do? Is it just in the guidance already? We can find that there? Where do we find that?
It is in our guidance. We would say that the reduction should not be more than 25% below the standard buffer. In 2005, largely at the request of local governments, ecology published Wetlands in Washington State, and that was a two-volume set. The science review itself is in volume one. And then volume two is the management recommendations that were based on the science in volume one. And that is where the buffer widths are recommended in Appendix 8C. All of our guidance since then is based on those buffers. The most recent recommendations is in the June 2016 Critical Areas Ordinance guidance. In 2013, ecology also did a review of the buffer science to see if those 2005 recommendations were still consistent with the science. They said for the most part they were. If anything, the buffer widths for habitat function should be increased, but we realized that that is a difficult challenge and that it does affect the use of people's property, and so we made a policy decision not to increase the recommended widths. I can give specific citations if you're interested in those documents. Okay.
Tom, do you have a question?
Yes, I'm just looking for a little more clarification on this 25% administrative reduction. Are you saying that Department of Ecology is okay with 25% reduction?
Yes, that's correct. We are okay with 25%, but anything beyond that we believe will lead to a degradation of function.
And that would be available through a variance process, however, I mean, beyond 25, I believe.
Yes, we do realize there are instances where a property is encumbered, and to allow reasonable use of that property, sometimes you do need to go below 25%, and a variance is one means of doing that.
Since we have you here, I want to, I guess, recite some of the testimony, or notes mm-hmm. I have from the testimony that we received yesterday. Just to see how you might respond to some of that if you can. So let me know if I'm doing it, if asking anything that's outside your expertise. We heard from a woman yesterday who said she was an environmental scientist, and she indicated that no science determines that averaging protects buffers. And she also said no science shows that it doesn't protect buffers, but you know, in dealing with the citizens' concerns about their land, you know, how do you respond to that when the science, which at least by her testimony, the science doesn't show that it does protect buffers.
I think that's largely an accurate statement, and we would agree with it, but we also understand that the county, as a local government, and the state as well, people do have a legal right to use their property, and that's why we made a policy decision that a reduction of up to 25% will, for the most part, protect functions. But if you go beyond that, then that's where you go from a moderate risk to a high risk. Because we're not saying that, you know, a 25% is no risk. We're saying it represents a moderate risk, and that's a policy decision that that's an acceptable level of risk.
And then there was another suggestion to us talking about enhancement of buffers. So some testimony that we heard saying, you know, not all land is created equal, and perhaps what the land was 100 years ago or what it was originally meant to be isn't that way. So he used the example of a pasture where animals have been grazing, nothing's growing on there anymore. And talked about the county possibly having staff that could take a look at those individually instead of having some set rules. And his position was that enhancement of buffers should be allowed through a review process and it should be encouraged. When you think about something like that?
I would agree with that statement as well, but I guess with the caveat that it would be important to understand the context of what the enhancement is for. Oftentimes, and it's true, I mean, especially in rural settings, agricultural areas, the buffer is degraded because the way that we've looked at it is, in this region, for most areas, a forested condition is what things were historically and what they would revert to. So when we look at a buffer as fully functional, it's in a forested condition. So enhancement can definitely improve those functions in areas that aren't currently forested. The trick, I guess, is understanding what the enhancement's being done for. The enhancement's being done to buy down the buffer. That's where we say maybe we should take a more careful look at that, because our guidance actually says that if the buffer's degraded, the width should be increased, even with enhancement, because you're not getting the protection, water quality, and habitat that you should with a fully functional buffer. So does that help?
Yes, yeah, so you're saying that if you're enhancing it, in theory, it should be increased. Is that something, and county staff might know this more than maybe even you, but is that something that someone in a position of county staff could take a look at or review property to do, or would that take a specialist, a wetland specialist?
I think you have staff on the county currently that could do that review and have the expertise to make that decision, yes. And if need be, the state's happy to assist with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Do we have anyone else added to the list? Thank you. Thomas Fry? Yeah. Properly pronounced? Frank. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all
okay.
Right. It's pronounced many different ways. In reading the schedule for the hearing tonight, I thought I read that at 5 o'clock it was an open house, and that 6 o'clock, that's when you commence the business portion. But I'm told by one of my fellow neighbors that you've already discussed a particular personal situation that we have in Kingston, and I don't want to be redundant, but I'd like to see if I can amplify or make a comment on this. First of all, I want to say that I am totally in support of a CAO. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I hope the draft goes through as promised. Have any of you ever been to Apple Tree Point in Kingston? One. How do you describe, two, how do you describe getting down to the 33 lots that are down at the bottom of the hill?
I choose not to describe that, but it's
any other comment on that? Well, you all know that all the cliffs and bluffs all around Puget Sound are subject to slides. It occurs all the time. Luckily, we don't live between Mukilteo and Everett. We have them daily. But we have only one ingress, egress down to our property, which is on Puget Sound. It's a wonderful piece of property. If you ever cross the Edmonds Ferry to Kingston, you look off to the right, you can see that development, 33 lots. We've had numerous, that road never really should have been built, and it is a private road, but it never should have been built, but it is built, and it's been in existence since 1910 or 20 or something like that. We've even had road closures, we've had slides, all sorts of things. We have water springs that are all over the place. The water springs move, they change, we try ditching and everything. We consume a great deal of time in trying to keep that road open. Now, we just found out tonight, and I didn't even know this, but we do have a housing development going in place up on the hill above us, called the Apple Tree Highline Estates, I think it's called. And they have three phases that they have proposed building. They've already commenced with phase one, but we're told tonight that they've already made an application for two and three. Now, three basically is on the crown of that bluff. That's all wooded now with vegetation, trees, and all of that. I don't know what the communication is between the permit process and you folks, but I hope that you can advise them that it's a geotech nightmare, which we even have records of, that any more water that comes down in our area, and I don't care how they claim they're going to manage that water, is of great concern to us. The other thing I want to mention is that, as I understand it from someone, we have the largest water lagoon wetland in Kitsap County adjacent to our property. Right now, that wetland over the years has kind of filled. If any of that extra water comes down there, that affects many of the homeowners. What else can I say? Anyone have any questions you'd like to ask me about that situation? We're really concerned about that approval of phase three, and we want you folks to let the permit people know that we're concerned about it, and we want to be advised how that process takes place so that we can give our input.
Well, just so that you're aware, Mr. Frey, the Planning Commission, we don't actually rule on site-specific land use issues. They may have done that once upon a time, but we don't. So we're just looking at the critical areas ordinance itself, not specifically how it applies to projects. So if you do want to go ahead and look at some of the requirements placed upon that project, I think if you talk to Mr. Bolger, the gentleman over here in the tie, on the far right, I think he could probably help you out, as well as a couple of the people there on county staff. So if you want to talk to them after the meeting, I'm sure they can probably provide you all the information that you want as far as the geotechnical studies and what other studies may have been done by the developer for that project.
Thank you, we will.
Okay.
And just to give you a piece of advice on this, Mr. Thomas.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was looking over here.
Having faced a similar situation in my neighborhood in that, we found that communication with the neighbors, you know, emails and meetings and that, really went a long way to keeping the information going and understanding what was happening. So I highly recommend you kind of get your community together and make sure that everyone's informed of what's going on.
Julie, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think that's the last name on the sign-up sheet. Is there anyone else that would like to go ahead and speak? Okay, a couple things, I guess, just to keep in mind. We are going to keep this meeting open until Monday, May 2nd, where we will continue at the county courthouse. Excuse me, Tuesday, May 2nd. Thank you. And also, if someone does want to submit comments, written comments between the hearings, if you go to help@kitsap1.com, you can submit the comments online. And then also, obviously, people are here because they're interested. if you want to look and see, I believe online you can obviously look at the draft document. You can also look at the comments that have been submitted. And the county has put, the staff has put together a comment matrix that you can look at. And I believe there's a response matrix so you can see what all the comments are and then how the county is also responding to those various comments. So that is all online. And once again, if you have any questions on maybe how to find that, if you talk with staff after the meeting, I'm sure they'll help you out.
Does that conclude the approval process by the applicants?
You know, there is some information online, but to be honest, you should probably talk with them. I think you have to log on and, yeah, there's some things that you have to do, but you can access that as well. All right, so with that, I think we'll wrap up the evening as far as the hearing. And like I said, we will continue on Tuesday, May 2nd. Anything else that staff would like to add or comments?
Just that the start time again for the hearing will be 6 o'clock, and that will be preceded by an open house at the Fort Orchard, or the Kitsap County Administrative Building in Fort Orchard.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.